So yeah, if you have your Bible, grab it, open it up to Numbers chapter 28. If you're doing, keeping track of the calendar, only 6 more weeks remain here in our series in the book of Numbers. For the last 27 Sundays, we have systematically gone through chapter by chapter, watching the journey of the Israelites as God has taken them from the foot of Mount Sinai to where they are at currently in the plains of Moab by the Jordan River of Jericho. And he's preparing them during this journey for the promise that he first gave to Abraham some 600 years earlier. He promised a land flowing with milk and honey. And their story, I feel, really mirrors our story as a church, because as you know, when we started this series back in January at the beginning of the year, I really wanted us to start out in the book of Joshua, you know, receiving the promise, entering into the promised land. Here we were, you know, at a new year, and we had this new promise given to us, but God, the Spirit, kept bringing me back to the book here of Numbers, and it was as if he was telling me, JD, not yet, almost. There's some preparation I need to do in the life of a New Heights first. And so for the last 27 weeks, God has been preparing us, getting us ready for what I feel like he wants to do in the life of our church moving forward. And we will begin entering into this next phase of what I feel God is entering or putting us into in the life of our church on our 25th anniversary celebration weekend, August 24th and 25th. Now, I've shared, we've made several announcements of what's going to be happening that Saturday night, but I want to share a little bit of what's happening that Sunday morning, August 25th. Many of you remember, or may remember, back in October, Pastor Jared took some much-needed time off, and we had Davey Thompson come and lead worship for us that Sunday morning. Well, I'm excited to tell everyone that Davey Thompson, he is going to come back that Sunday, August 25th, and he's bringing his band with us to lead us in worship that Sunday morning, and it's going to be phenomenal. Yeah. Not only that, I got confirmation this past week that missionary and evangelist David Tompkins is going to help kick off our series here in Joshua that morning. And I'll tell you what, you will leave excited about what God wants to do, not only in your life, but in our life as a church. He always is Spirit-filled, and he'll birth the fire in you. Let me tell you something. So that's that he's going to be coming to preach that Sunday. And then after that, we've been spiritually fed, right? We're going to be physically fed, because our very own Ivan Trammell, he's going to be catering our luncheon for us. He's going to be making some barbecue along with all the fixins. And then Simply Sweet, I don't know if many of you have been there before, Simply Sweet has been confirmed. They're going to come and provide dessert for us. And so there's a couple other surprises that morning that we will have as well. So you definitely do not want to miss that Sunday morning, August 25th, for our 25th anniversary celebration. But as announced, you know, it all kicks off that Saturday night at 7 p.m. with a free concert by Stars Go Dim, a free concert to our entire community. And basically, Stars Go Dim is just another way of Chris Cleveland saying that he is this artist, the monkeyer for Chris Cleveland. So I bring him up, because this is going to help set us up for the stage of Numbers chapter 28 and 29. I don't know if you've ever had to book a band before for an event, but it's not enough just to agree on a set price about bringing said band in. In addition to a financial payment, you also have to agree on certain terms and conditions. And in the music industry, they call this the rider, the artist rider. And basically, the rider has two parts in it, two major sections. There's a technical part, and there's also this catering, or what we would know as a hospitality part to it. The technical part is basically what it says, right? It deals with the technical side and the details required for their performance. And the hospitality part, I mean, again, it deals with meals and transportation and accommodation. Here are some things that were required in order for us to bring Stars Go Dim here into our church. The writer for Chris Cleveland, it says this: provide four double hotel rooms, Hilton brand preferred, no motels. Please provide a planned menu for lunch and dinner the day of the show. We request that lunch include cold salad, grilled chicken, steak and appropriate sides, fajita bar and appropriate sides. Please prepare a private green room with accessibility to the stage and plan refreshments, snacks for band and crew, pure protein bars, Blue Diamond whole natural almonds, turkey jerky, and gold standard whey protein powder. Please provide dimensions and photo of stage. Please confirm and describe the PA system and adequate stage power. And please confirm stage plots and input list prior to arrival as well. There's more, but I think you get the picture. I think you get the idea. If we want to have the caliber of a kind of artist as Stars Go Dim, we had to agree on certain conditions in order to get him to come. It wasn't enough just to say we wanted him to be here. It wasn't enough for us just to provide a financial compensation for his travel, right? That we would pay for him to come. There were some expectations stated up front that we said we would fulfill before he agreed to come here and do the concert for our community. And what you'll find is that this is really what Numbers chapter 28 and 29 is all about. This is God's rider to his people. The section at first that may just seem like a list of boring sacrifices is really showing us the only way that we can have a relationship, an intimate relationship with God, how it can be found and then maintained. So Numbers chapter 28, you should already be there if you want to follow along. It'll be up on the screen as always. We'll kick off in verse number 1. This is what Scripture tells us. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now if you've been keeping count, this is the 62nd time that God has spoken. I may have missed one or two here and there, but there's definitely not less. 62 times. That's a lot. And if you don't hear anything else from this message, I want you to hear this. It's God who initiates the relationship with mankind, not vice versa. God is the one who seeks us out. God is the one who initiates. God is the one who makes the first move. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but what? I chose you. I really love how the Amplified puts this verse. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed and placed and have purposefully planted you. That can preach. So what that tells me is this, is that if you are a believer in Christ this morning, it's because you first responded, or you responded to God's call on you first. You heard his voice, you felt his conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you responded to him speaking to you. 62 times so far in Numbers, God has spoken. And because he has spoken, because he is the creator of the universe and we are his creation, he sets the terms for how this relationship works. Look at verse number 2. He tells Moses, command the people of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer to me at its appointed time. So sacrifices in this Old Testament Levitical sacrificial system, I mean, they served many purposes. But the sacrifices here that are going to be listed in Numbers 28 and 29 had the sole purpose of fellowship, of relationship with God. I mean, several elements highlight this symbolism of a shared meal between God and His people. I mean, He said it right there in verse 2. He said, these are supposed to be called my food for my food offerings. And as you continue reading in the two chapters, you'll see this phrase come up time and time again as the offerings ascend up to God, that they are what? A pleasing aroma. What's more is that these offerings are supposed to be accompanied by the appropriate grain and drink offerings. And so together, all of this symbolized, emphasized the fact that the sacrifices being made here symbolize a balanced meal between God and His people. It was a celebration of the relationship. But did you notice how verse 2 started out? I mean, these offerings were not optional. These offerings weren't, you know, just if I feel like offering them. No, what did God tell Moses? It started with the imperative, command. And then it ends in the phrase, you shall be careful to offer to me at its appointed time. Translation. There is a responsibility on our part in the relationship. I mean, even in our earthly relationships that we have, that we have a responsibility in that relationship, because without responsibility, church, there is no relationships. I've committed in covenant relationship with Corey to do certain things and not do certain things. Are you tracking with me? And if I have not committed to those things, then guess what? There is no marital relationship between me and her. Amen. It's no different than with our relationship with God when it comes to our relationship with God. Why would you and I think that we can just do whatever we want to do whenever we feel like doing it and still have communion and still have relationship with the Father? You see, if there's no commitment on our end, if there's no responsibility on our end, then there ceases to be a relationship with God. So let me unpack that a little bit and what that means. Sure, if you want to find God, He can be found. I mean, Jeremiah, very popular verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Jeremiah the prophet, God is speaking through him and he says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then if you go to verse 14, he writes, or he continues, I will be found by you. And then if you fast forward to the New Testament, you'll see verses like Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. So if you want to find God, God can be found. But that does not mean there are not rules and expectations that we have to or don't have to submit to. We cannot just simply keep living the way that we want to live and do whatever we want to do. It's why Jesus told his followers in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, if you have a relationship with me, you will keep my commandments. And let me tell you something, if you haven't figured it out already, This keeping His commandments thing, this obeying God and doing His will thing, it's going to cost you something. You see it here in Numbers chapter 28 and 29. God is making tremendous demands on His people. And like we've already pointed out, these commands, these demands are not optional. They're required. because of time, I mean, if I really wanted to keep you guys here for a long time, we would read every single verse in these two chapters. But we won't. But I think you'll get the picture of what is required just in the few verses that we are going to cover this morning. We're going to keep reading. Pick it up in verse number 3. So this is, again, God talking to Moses. Command the people to do this. And you shall say to them, this is the food offering that you shall offer to the Lord. 2 male lambs, a year old, without blemish, day by day, as a regular offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, which is basically just 2 quarts, maybe in your translation already has it converted. Mixed with a quarter of a hin of beaten oil, which is 1 quart. Verse 6, it is a regular burnt offering, which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Its drink offering shall be a quarter of a hin for each lamb, or 1 quart. In the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, like the grain offering of the morning, and like its drink offering, you shall offer it as a food offering. With what a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Every single day they were to offer 2 lambs without blemish, a year old, 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening, along with the required food and drink offerings every single day, 365 days out of the year. But then listen to what is also required that they are to do once a week. Keep reading, verse number 9. On the Sabbath day, 2 male lambs, a year old, without blemish, and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour for grain offering, mixed with oil, and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. Did you catch that? Do you hear my emphasis? Besides. In addition to, in other words, the sacrifices that are going to be listed here in chapter 28 and 29 are cumulative. This weekly sacrifice on the Sabbath day was to be offered in addition to the daily sacrifices. And we haven't even covered, if you keep reading, what was supposed to happen in the monthly sacrifices. And then they had annual sacrifices as well. And they were all in addition to, cumulative. So I went ahead and did the math for you. I may be off 1 or 2. You could correct me later on if you want to. But the total annual, every year, obligation that the nation of Israel was supposed to offer before the Lord to keep this relationship and this fellowship with Him, they needed to provide 1,903 lambs, 37 rams, 113 bulls, and 30 goats every year, along with the bottles, right? A ton of flour and the bottles of oil and wine. And this doesn't even include the free will offerings or the purification offerings that individuals, they themselves, were required to offer for individual offenses. You see, a relationship with the true and living God will cost you something. Yes. And that's the point. These offerings here, these sacrifices here described in these two chapters are supposed to be offered as a whole burnt offering. Key word there being whole. These offerings symbolize total, complete devotion, commitment to God. That's why Paul then in Romans chapter 12, he'll pick up on this theme and he'll use this image of this whole burnt offering. And he'll say that you are to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, dedicated to God, holy, completely His. Grace, you might have heard this saying before, grace is free. It's freely given, but it is not cheap. It comes at a price, because fellowship with God will cost you everything. It will cost you everything you are, and it will cost you everything you have. And if it hasn't, yellow, if not red flags need to be screaming and lighting up in your life right now. If you can say to yourself, I've had a relationship with God, but it hasn't really cost me anything, warning signs need to be going off. Yes. It will cost you everything. It's why when, you know, you remember the story, the rich young ruler, you know, he comes to Jesus and he tells Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to have this relationship with you? I want to have a relationship. What do I need to do? Do you remember what Jesus, how Jesus responded in Mark chapter 10? Where was it at? Verse 21. Listen to what Jesus said. I love this. And Jesus looking at him, and I loved how Mark puts this in, loved him. You see, Jesus loves you. He wants the best for you. He loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Come have a relationship with me. But disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had what? Great possessions. You see, the cost for him, this rich young ruler, to follow God was too much. It was too high for him. He found the price tag of this total commitment to Christ too expensive. And so he walked away. And what really blows your mind is that Jesus let him. Jesus let him go. Now, I'm not saying this morning that for you, God's telling you to sell everything you have. Well, you know, I went to church today, and honey, I got some good news and bad news. You know, the good news is I have a relationship with God. The bad news is we're homeless. I'm not saying that, okay? That's not what I'm saying. It may be, but that's between you and the Father. The point is, it's going to cost you something, because a relationship with God is not cheap. It's never cheap. It demands everything we are and everything that we have. But here's the deal. Here's the thing. And this is what I love. I share it with people a lot of times on my own, but I'm going to apply it here in this situation. God doesn't ask something of you that he hasn't first done himself. God is not asking for you to do something for him that he hasn't already done himself. Because however costly these whole burnt offerings were to the worshiper, were to the individual offering them, it was far more costly to the animal that was being offered. Are you tracking with me? Because the cost for the animal was its life. The wages of sin is death. And death was necessary in order to make the worshiper, the individual, acceptable before God. And this whole burnt offering, it had to be a perfect animal without spot or blemish, whose death forgives sin. By providing this perfect substitute, by taking the place, by atoning for the sins of the worshiper. The animal's blood atoned, forgave the offenses. And I often wondered, how many times did the Israelites realize this truth? Every single day, at least two lambs were to be offered. How many times did the nation realize that should have been me? How many times did they fall down and worship before the Father, humbly thanking him for providing such a substitute so that they could in turn have God's presence dwelling in their midst among them? And the reason why such atonement was necessary, such forgiveness was necessary, because in the Bible, sin just does not go away. It had to have a payment. Transgression has to be paid for either by the sinner or by someone else. If you go outside today and hop in your car and you're on your way home or going out to eat, and an uninsured motorist slams into your vehicle and totals it, guess what? Them saying, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that," does not pay for the damages done. You as the person being wrong, you saying, "Well, hey, that's okay, I forgive you," does not pay for the damage done to your vehicle either. Someone has to pay. Either the guilty party or the one who was offended. Someone has to pick up the tab. And it's the same exact way Scripture defines sin. When you sin against God, someone has to pay penalty, payment for that sin, which we know, which is one of the something old themes that we've covered time and time again in Numbers, for the wages of sin is death. So either you as the guilty party has to pay for that sin by your own death, or God as the offended party has to foot the bill on your behalf. And what Numbers 28 and 29 is showing us, that even though it's costing us something to have skin in the game, to have relationship with the Heavenly Father, it's costing and it has cost God more, because then God provided the substitute to take our place and pay for our sin. And you and I both know that individual ultimately is Jesus Christ. Because no matter how many bulls, no matter how many goats, no matter how many rams, you just take the place, no matter how many were sacrificed, none of those could actually atone for your sin. It's why the writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 10, listen to what it says in the scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1. "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never," meaning the law, meaning the sacrifices, "it can never be by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." And so what does God do? He himself fully bears the penalty for our sins by sending his son to die on the cross. Skip down to verse 11 and we'll land the plane with this. "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which what can never take away sins. But," and that's a big but, "when Christ had offered all for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet." Verse 14, "For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." You see, he paid the price so you and I would not have to. Glory to God. So he comes to me and he now says to me, "This is now what I expect out of you. This is what I have done for you, JD. I've sent my only begotten son to pay the price that you should have paid. And now this is what I expect out of you. And guess what I do? I obey." Why? Because when I look at the cross, I say to myself, that should have been me. When I look at what Christ did on the cross, I say to myself, that should have been me. So you better believe that when God says jump, I say how high. Yes. When you better believe that God says, I want this in your life, JD, I say, here you go. I may not like it. Don't mishear me, right? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying, oh yeah, here we go. I'm so happy, God, you want this. No. At times it's very difficult. At times I wrestle with God. But God, I really like this. This makes me feel good. And God says, no, I want this. I want this. No price is too high for me to pay once I allow the cross to permeate my heart and my mind. And so my question for us this morning, for you individually, what about you? Have you made yourself this morning a living sacrifice? Have you wholly and completely committed yourself to what God expects out of your life? And until you do, hear me, you are not in relationship with Him. Until you are ready and willing to give it all up, to sacrifice everything for Him, there is no relationship. Because a relationship with anyone, but especially our Heavenly Father, will cost you something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you made that way where there was no way. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made on the cross. And right now, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you continue to speak to our hearts as we worship you and make much of you, that you continue to penetrate this heart of stone. And that if there be anything that we are holding on to, that we have not released to you, that we have not said, not my will, but your will be done, Father, in this moment, may we lay it at your feet and sacrifice it as a whole burnt offering to you, because that's what we do. Desire. That's what our heart desires, to have a relationship with you. And so if there's anything that is standing in between us and you, Father, help us, Holy Spirit, to eradicate it, to remove it, so that we can have fellowship with you. So in these next few moments, Lord, do what only you can do. I ask this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Church, I love you.